Hello, and welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I'm Melified, and I am joined in hosting duties today by Fenrir765. Our community guest host tonight is once again Hoptimus. He's returning to do our second show after a little bit of a scheduling snafu with another guest host, but we're certainly excited to have you back, Hop. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking. How are you, Mel?
I'm doing great. Fenrir, how about you, man? What's up with you?
I am living the dream, gentlemen.
I'm not sure which dream that is, but we'll take your word for it. So let's dive right in. We've got a jam-packed show tonight, and despite it being sort of the end of the year and a slow news time, we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Fenrir, why don't you get us started.
So the big thing I want to talk about is the Game Awards. It was a few weeks ago on December 7th, and there was a lot of news trailers and things dropped at it. And I was pretty excited to catch the trailers afterwards. I actually didn't watch the Game Awards, but there were some really cool things that I think came out of it.
What was your favorite announcement?
I think probably the Outer Worlds was my favorite announcement from the Game Awards. You know, Obsidian Entertainment dropping that huge sci-fi trailer that really fits into that world of that, I don't know, just that comedic, dark humor that you get with Borderlands, but the exploration piece you get in Fallout. So, kind of excited to see where they go with that game.
Yeah, well, they've got, Microsoft money now, so it should be interesting to see what they can do with that, for sure.
Yeah, I am pretty excited about that. It looks like it's going to be awesome.
Did any of you actually watch the Game Awards? Because, like I said, I didn't. I just mainly caught all the trailers later.
I just don't watch those things. I usually check the synopsises on Reddit or, you know, watch the collected clips on YouTube.
I was essentially watching it happened live through Discord with people posting reactions and stuff, but I wasn't actually watching the stream or watching it on TV.
All right. I mean, does that mean that is there a future for this kind of award ceremony?
Well, I think the problem is, to me, it was half awards, half, you know, news on new games. And I feel like the only reason they've been getting so many new game announcements is because people don't care about them enough to watch it for the actual awards.
That's a valid point. I mean, I obviously didn't watch it, and I just caught all the trailers the next day. So, but I will also fully admit, it was date night with the wife, so I didn't really have much of a choice to not watch it.
Well, I think, you know, you look at the Oscars, right? And the Oscars are an event. And I feel like even the Tonys or some of the other forms of entertainment have these big, you know, annual celebrations, and gaming just has never quite caught that that bug, I guess.
Yeah, but they make a ton more money than all those other mediums.
They sure do. I also think that, you know, there is the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences is the video game industry trade group, and they do an awards that's voted on by members of that academy, which is sort of how the Oscars work with the Academy of Arts and Science and Motion Picture Arts and Sciences or whatever it is. And, you know, I think that industry recognition probably means more, but I don't think, again, it's as interesting to the general public, perhaps.
Yeah, well, hopefully time will tell what will happen with the Game Awards. I think it's a great idea. I hope that it can continue to launch itself into the future and make it more accessible, and everybody will eventually decide, hey, gaming is a serious thing. We actually should pay attention to these awards.
Yeah, hopefully so. Hop, any last thoughts before we move on?
Yeah, it definitely makes enough money. I mean, they had, what was the game that came out last year? On launch day, it made more than any Hollywood film.
Red Dead did that.
Was it Red Dead 2? Red Dead 2,
Red Dead 2 did
something else.
It.
last year that did it. I want to say it was on. I don't remember, but yeah, it's definitely something I think in the future they're gonna definitely have to pay more attention to. It's
Fair
definitely a
enough.
medium that's grown far beyond the humble beginnings of a couple transistors and a paddle controller with a black and white TV.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's go on to our next story. This is my story of the week. Epic has said they will be opening up the cross-play platform they built for Fortnite to basically all developers. Certainly, I was expecting them to do this for the Unreal Engine, which Epic licenses, and that's how they make a ton of money. Although Fortnite certainly has dwarfed that income stream these days. But they've also said they're going to be licensing it to Unity-based games, which is a bit of a surprise because that's their big competitor. And all of this is going to work with the Epic new Epic Store, where they're selling PC games. So, pretty exciting news for the future of crossplay, I think. Having a really battle-tested platform for developers to just hook into to get crossplay features. What do you guys think?
Say it's about damn time myself.
Most definitely. I mean, you gotta also look at it. Epic is cash flush. I mean, I like to say they're going all in, but I don't even think they're even investing a third of what they're banking on Fortnite on a daily basis. So.
Yeah, well, and interestingly, this kind of dovetails into our next story where Steam, there's sort of a suggestion that Steam may be picking up some cross-play features with Xbox, which sort of seems like a defensive move by Epic, or excuse me, by Valve to fend off Epic's new store. Optimus, you'd picked this as one of the stories you wanted to talk about. I kind of
Yeah,
stepped
well,
on
I
your
mean,
lead there, but.
no, that's perfect. I was actually going to say, if you weren't going to do it, I was going to jump in and say, they're talking about, with Sony finally giving ground on cross-play, Microsoft already has a bunch of first-party games, cross-platform, Xbox, PC. But the news was spotted on GitHub and Reset Era for code references to Xbox Live coding with Steam, which means that more than likely, we're going to start to see the Steam games get cross-play with Xbox Live, which would be great. Because, I mean, not everybody owns the same stuff, and it'd be cool if everybody could play together. This kind of is on the heels of Movies Anywhere, which launched last year, that a bunch of the movie studios are in on. And it doesn't matter if you buy your movie on iTunes, Microsoft Store, or Google Play, about 75% of the Hollywood studios have it set. So if you have Movies Anywhere and you link your accounts, if I buy a movie on Amazon Prime, I can watch it on my Apple TV as long as it's not. There's a few studios that don't, but I'm assuming that's kind of what we're going to see happen with this cross gaming thing, where they're going to be like, okay, well, if you're playing, whatever, Black Ops 4 on PC, you can play with people on here. They may not do certain games because of competitive gaming, but probably more adventure type games will see cross-play, or Fortnite has cross-play and that has a competitive link. So
Well, I think there's an interesting, step further out where we have cross-play games, but we also have a single identity across platforms where, I'm not having to try and go get my name on Origin, Uplay,
right.
Steam, all these platforms. And that kind of brings up an interesting idea of if we have a single identity as gamers across all these platforms, what happens when I do something really bad and get banned? Right? Am I off my gaming for a week because I was mouthing off in Rainbow Six to somebody?
Yeah, that it. I mean that. But honestly, I mean,
Think that just kind of falls within your own ecosystem that you're currently in. I mean, if you're on live, if you get reported to live, you get booted. I mean, there's got to be some kind of tiered approach with that in the end, so.
yeah.
But that's for smarter people to figure out than me.
Oh, fair enough. I just think that's maybe the dark side of this, perhaps,
Yeah,
right?
for
If
sure.
everything gets linked.
I think that, we can already see games already planning for this future in a way, because I mean, if you look in Call of Duty, Black Ops 4, you can add friends inside the game itself to a list that you can then see when they're on playing Call of Duty. They don't necessarily even need to be online with their Xbox or visible online on their Xbox, but if they're playing Call of Duty, it shows them playing Call of Duty right at that moment. So I'm thinking that down the road, if you find a PlayStation friend that's playing it, you add them as a friend within that game's ecosystem itself, it will allow you to easily search and find them.
Rather than what Fortnite does. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's coming. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Well, Hop, do you want to move us, touch on our last story tonight?
Yeah, so the last story, and I mean, there's been rumblings and rumors of next generation consoles. Are we getting real consoles? Is this the last generation? A new story broke out on The Verge. And it's talking about the next machines. The first one they talk about, this is all about the new Xbox Scarlet generation machines. The first one, codenamed Anaconda, is basically the beefier, like the Xbox One X of this next gen. It may include SSD. I saw another, actually, this, it's funny, I got this story. I saw another video on YouTube where a guy talked about the leaks for the AMD chips that are going to be in this, and they sound pretty awesome. Really fast, really good GPUs. And a second console in this series would be Lockhart, that would be the more normal, like, think Xbox One S of this generation. I'm going to guess the regular one is probably going to be closer to what we currently have on the Xbox One X, with probably 4K HDR 60 frame standard. And the other one will be probably beefier as to handle 4K HDR 60 frames, but maybe also virtual reality, because at some point that's going to come into play, I think, in the next gen. Me personally, I'm not all that interested in VR. I'd be more interested in some sort of holographic visuals. I don't like the idea of wearing something on my face. I find it too distracting.
But anyway, Star Trek
holodeck. Something like a holodeck I could get into. I mean, they're both a little kind of immersive, to the point of, you know, people can maybe get lost in this stuff, because people already get pretty addicted to, not everybody, but some people can get really addicted to games where they're ignoring the real world. I can only see VR being even easier for some of these people to get hooked into.
Should we even ask the question, can the Anaconda run 8K?
I'm going to guess it probably will. That's another one of those things that popped up. I saw that Samsung did that 8K displays, and I'm going, okay. Because, I mean, I have a 4K set. It's nice. But, you know, unless you're really looking, the bigger improvement was HDR, right? From 1080p to 4K, the big game changer was HDR, not really the 4K. Unless you have a really huge TV, then the 4K is a big deal. Like 65 or bigger, you can tell. But unless you're playing on that big of a TV, it's the HDR that really, when I saw it, made a huge difference.
Well, I think to your point, Fenrir, you can have the system support 8K, and if there's one TV that costs $15,000 on the market, you know, you're ready for the future. The other thing is that, to Hop's point about VR, one of the sort of future standards for VR that people are talking about is 8K, where you're then getting 4K displays in each eye.
So you're getting so that much makes more sense realistic. That makes sense if that Anaconda would be the one to handle the VR, like a very nice VR.
Yes, yes.
And one of the without problems, the screen door effect that plagues most VR right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the PSVR is pretty bad in that respect. It for those who don't know, the screen door effect is literally like you're looking at the screen through a screen door, because you're so close to the display, you can see the lines between the pixels, and it's not terribly attractive, unfortunately.
See, I just learned something, guys. I'm so glad I do this.
All right, well, any last thoughts, Fenrir, on the new consoles?
No, I mean, this is what I'm waiting for. I didn't make the jump to the X, so we'll see what happens with the Anaconda or the Lockhart and see what kind of jump I make next.
Gotcha. How about you, Hop? Any final words?
I feel a lot better as far as Microsoft and the Xbox now that we have, oh my God, I'm totally spacing his name.
Phil Spencer?
Phil Spencer running the Xbox division, because honestly, when the one came out, that E3, I was crushed. I was like, man, they killed Xbox. I was so sad. It was
Yeah.
like the worst E3 I had ever seen from them. I was like, oh my gosh. And I didn't buy one at launch. I waited, because the launch Xbox One was disappointing to me. It wasn't until later that we got Titanfall and things started to turn around that I went and bought one. So, but from now, with Phil Spencer in charge, I feel like I can reserve a day one Xbox, whatever this is called, final release, Anaconda, or whatever they're going to call it, and not be worried. So I'm looking forward to a new Xbox for the first time
I think that's a whole
in a
nother
long time.
discussion. What is the
Right,
name
yeah,
going to
that's.
be?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want to go down that road, but one thing I'll just point out is, we had heard bits about the Scarlet as the next Xbox. So I'm curious if that will, is that a third thing that is the
Well,
streaming
according to the
only Xbox?
story. Oh yeah, there's a rumor that according to the story, they're both Scarlet. It's just the Anaconda's the super souped up Scarlet, and the Lockhart is the like entry level Scarlet. And there's that other rumor that we're going to see a discless Xbox One S type device sometime in the next year, so that you can get. And at that time, I'm sure that it'll be like 150 to get people hooked on the Xbox ecosystem. And that's really what I think they're doing. They're trying to infiltrate your living room and just get you hooked.
Hey, I'm all for it if they keep making great games and awesome services, they can have my money. All right, well let's move it on. We've got some releases, new releases and updates to talk about. Hop, you're gonna take us through. You've played Fortune Island a little bit. I've touched it very briefly myself. What's the word?
It's awesome. It reminds me a little bit of, if you played Horizon 2, they had an expansion called Storm Island, which was rainy, muddy, lots of sliding around, very almost rally inspired. And Fortune Island is a little bit of that with a lot cooler weather effects, because that's on the one platform, or the with their newer engine, especially on the 1X. And there's a treasure hunt, so there's all these hidden clues, and you can find treasure. I haven't found one yet. Sith told me how he got one of them. I'm not going to reveal it here, because, I'll let other people figure it out. But the environment's cool. It's very rainy, very muddy. Better mud effect than in the base game or any Forza game before it. Like, you're driving in some deep muddy water, and it's really cool when you hit it. It's like you feel like you're driving through mud. It's not just like a visual effect. Like, it really, you're like, whoa, what did I just hit?
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's really pretty. And at night, because it takes place, it looks like it takes place in like a Iceland inspired area, the northern lights come out, and driving at night, doing the street night races is really cool. I've only done I did a few races with Sith today, and I did some the other night. We did a couple circuits, and it was pretty cool. It's definitely, if you're a Horizon fan, it's a definite buy. If you're only a casual Forza fan, maybe wait for a sale.
Yeah, and I'll add a couple things from my playtime. The Aurora Borealis is gorgeous, no question. Super, super good effect. The treasures themselves, if you actually go through and do the treasure hunt, I did one, and it was 1,000,000 credits reward that I got out of that treasure chest, which was pretty sweet, yeah. So,
Gotta get the mansions.
yeah, I'm still working up to my second to last one, so I'm happy about the extra fundage.
I saw B Daddy say something about lightning.
I haven't seen the lightning myself. Have you, Hop?
Oh yeah, it's cool. It's kind of freaky. There's one track where you're racing on a cliffside. There's no guardrail, so if you miss the turn, you fly right off the side. It's pretty cool. It's pretty like, whoa, don't mess that up. It's pretty sweet graphically. It's really a neat effect they did there. I don't think they would have been able to pull it off on the last Horizon engine. I think all the work they did with the real-time weather and stuff was so they could make cool stuff like this.
They have done some good stuff with that game. I can't wait to see what they continue to bring out of Playground.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
think, and I mean, there was a rumor that those guys might be doing a Fable game or some kind of open world RPG. People were hinting Fable, so we'll see what comes out of that later.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. I would love another Fable game, but well, let's move on to a brief story. Subnautica, which is a single player survival game where your spaceship crashes on a largely aquatic planet, is out of early access. It's officially 1.0. If you haven't had a chance to check this out, I know some folks don't want to touch the early access games. Subnautica is absolutely worth playing. It is a fantastic journey, and it's a nice challenge too if you like, the survival games, but there is a creative mode where you can kind of just go through the story. Definitely recommended. So, now for games with Gold, Game Pass, backward compatibility, and Xbox One X enhancements, we have a handful of stories to talk about tonight. Hop, you want to give us our Xbox One X enhanced rundown?
Sure. Let's see. We got 4K and HDR support added to Rocket League. That patch is out. I myself have not fired it up yet. I keep meaning to and then get distracted by playing other things. Ashen, I heard looks great. I have not checked that out either. Ride 3, never even played it. And then we have Far Cry New Dawn was added. Far Cry series has always been a looker, so I can only imagine that that looks pretty sweet on there.
Yeah, and it didn't make our news this week, but Far Cry New Dawn is the post-apocalyptic game from Ubisoft that kind of picks up a little while after Far Cry 5 ends.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
I kind of came out of I didn't hear much about it until about a week or two ago, so it's going to be interesting to see. I haven't checked it out myself.
Awesome. And then Fenrir, what's the word on backward compatibility?
Well, we got the Darkness, Duke Nukem Forever, and the Bureau XCOM Declassified have all been added to back compat. I can honestly tell you, I've played a little bit of the Darkness, never had a desire to touch Duke Nukem Forever because of just the horrors that game went through in development, and I knew it just would probably be terrible. But the Bureau XCOM Declassified is a lot of fun. So if you haven't played any of those games, feel free to check them out. Please let me know your thoughts about Duke Nukem Forever, because I still don't think it could hold up.
Yeah, well, it certainly hasn't had great reviews, so I suspect it's got a few fans out there, but probably not the first thing that people will be jumping up and down for. Moving on to our Game Pass games for December, we got Mortal Kombat X added, Kingdom Two Crowns, Pro Evolution Soccer 2019. Which is a bit of a surprise considering that's a brand new title. Spin Tires Mud Runner. I would encourage anyone who likes driving games, likes co-op games, to check out Spin Tires Mud Runner. It has a couple free expansions. I'm not sure if those are included with the Game Pass download or you have to go get them from the store separately, but get all of that stuff kind of downloaded and give it a try. It is just a super, super fun game. Below is another E3 favorite from a few years back that finally came out and went straight to Game Pass, which is great. Microsoft owns Ninja Theory, the makers of Hellblade, so that got added. And similarly, Ori and the Blind Forest Definitive Edition got added, or will be added here in a couple days. And
Okay, I'm
Shadow
waiting enough for
Warrior.
that.
Say that again, Optimus?
I said I'm waiting for Ori. I've never played it, and all I hear is really good things about it.
Yeah, it's a really pretty platformer for sure. And then last but not least, this is one I've actually been waiting for a sale on. So I was super excited to see Shadow Warrior 2 is coming to Game Pass. If you haven't played Shadow Warrior, it's kind of a very tongue-in-cheek, fast action shooter with where you play a ninja. So
Yeah,
loads of fun.
so I've played both, and the second game I love. I mean, I loved so much fun. In my opinion, way better than the first game, mostly because the co-op, but also the story. It has some of the best combination of shooting and melee mechanics in any first-person game. Like, if you like, I like to play melee characters, so I was really happy that it had really fun melee, along with the fun frantic shooting and really beautiful graphics. I wish it got an X enhanced patch, but it never has, but it still looks really nice.
I still
Very,
need to
very
finish the
fun
first one.
game. Yeah, I just jump in on the second one with me and Mellified, and you'll have a blast.
All right,
Guaranteed.
sounds good.
Sounds like a plan, guys. Okay, so moving on, we're going to talk about game updates and DLC announcements. One of the big ones, Hitman 2, has basically announced content dropping every week in December. They've added some new contracts earlier in the month, along with a new escalation missions for a couple of the levels. The escalations are a series of increasingly difficult missions where you're not allowed to save, so you kind of have to do it in one shot. Forces you to kind of adapt if you make a mistake. December 18th, that was today when we're recording here, and they released a Santa-themed update to one of the levels where you can basically play through and have some fun dressed as Santa for your Agent 47 disguise. And December 21st, there will be a new elusive target. And December 27th, there'll be some more escalation mode levels added. So pretty substantial amount of updates there. I know the game's been on sale a few different places for half price, $30, recently as well. So definitely check that out if that sounds like fun. Pass it over to you, Fenrir, for our next update.
Yeah, NieR Automata 2B out for Soul Calibur 6. She's got her own stage, weapons as well, included in the Soul Calibur 6 Season Pass.
Very cool. And Hoptimus, what's the word on Ghost Recon Wildlands? We haven't heard much from these guys lately.
It's really I was actually honestly surprised that they're adding so much at the whole new year to pass. I need to check that out. Looking at what they're adding, it sounds pretty fun. I really dug the game. We had a group of us. It went on sale last year. I don't know if I think it was at the Christmas time. A bunch of us all picked it up and we were playing it quite a bit. We're getting new missions in the game. There's a free one being added. There's missions added with the expansion. There's a photo mode, some new PvP events. I actually haven't even played the PvP. It looks like a blast, but it also looks like there's a learning curve involved, just like Rainbow Six Siege, but different kind of learning curve. And there's some new PvP maps. They've done a killer job too with the 4K support on the 1X on this game. It looks gorgeous if you haven't checked it out. It's really pretty game. If I have anything to say about Ghost Recon that'll make some taggers laugh, is that flying the planes is quite hectic. The helicopters are fine, the trucks and cars are fine, but flying the planes has resulted in some tag shenanigans.
Oh no.
It's been good. But yeah, I'm excited to check this stuff out because the game was really good. It's like I'll have to dig back in there and see what I need to catch up on. I liked the sandbox gameplay of this game, and also because it was the kind you could pick up and play for 10, 20, 30 minutes, or you could get sucked in for like hours, and you can do drop in and drop out co-op. So it's a really good game to do co-op with friends.
They actually, one of the things I know they're adding is a mission with Scott Mitchell, who was the character from Ghost Recon Future Soldier.
Yeah. I never played Future Soldier. I played the original Ghost Recons on the original Xbox, and I kind of skipped the 360 ones, and then I bought Wildlands when it was on sale.
I think one thing you can say about Ubisoft is their ability to support a game after launch is unparalleled to many other developers.
And to even like Siege came out and honestly got shat on pretty bad, and they worked their butts off to retool that game, and now it is one of the hottest competitive shooters, and it's really good. And the same thing with, I think Wildlands didn't come out all that hot, and they did the same thing, turned it around. I don't think the PvP in Wildlands is everybody's favorite, but the actual game itself and gameplay was well received now. People generally, I've enjoyed all the missions and time I've had. The co-op especially with people is hilarious. Just do not let Sith drive.
Good to keep in mind for the Taggers looking to pick this one up for sure. We also had a pretty big update for Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Fenrir, you want to take us through this one?
Yeah, so 1.1 is out and it's actually live for all platforms now. Operation Zero, which is the I would say the new season, has launched. You get a new specialist, weapons for multiplayer and Blackout. Hijacked gets added to the Blackout map, which is a giant yacht up in the oceans. There's a new vehicle also being added called the ARV, which is a, I believe, a two-person vehicle with a mounted weapon on it. So that's going to be interesting in the gameplay, how that will work. Maybe the next time when I run duos with Hop, we can actually do some damage with our vehicles. They revamped the black market system, which has been a huge grave for a lot of people. So instead of having 200 tiers, it's only down to 100 tiers and guarantees unlocks every single time until afterwards. Then it's just random unlocks for things that you may not have gotten in the previous season. Multiplayer got some huge updates to Nuketown with custom games and other quality of life upgrades. Blackout had map improvements, new places you can go into via buildings, improve the audio. That has been a huge deal in that game. The audio sounds so much better now.
Way better, way
Yeah.
better.
The biggest thing that I think is going to be a kind of a interesting topic going back and forth is the armor repair. You can now repair your armors with little nugget things you find. And there's also been increased durability to the armor during the matches. So I'll be curious to see what they do with the armor repair, how they tweak it, modify it going forward. I know some people are not a big fan of it. And some people, really enjoy it. I'm kind of in the middle of that whole thing right now. Zombies, they have a daily tier skip now added, where every 15 levels you get a bonus black market drop for you. Pretty much a lot of updates to help with the quality of life of the game, but man, this game, that blackout mode, I'm hooked, and I think I'll be hooked for a while.
Yeah, it has its hooks in both of us.
Yeah. So, if you don't have it, get it. I'll play with you. That's for you, Goo.
Right. So, here on the Tagcast, we actually don't do advertisements. We don't take advertisers paying us to sell products, but we actually do have bills to pay. The podcast hosting, recording, editing is all done through a service that costs some money. So, if you want to help out with that, if you enjoy the podcast, you enjoy the community, go to theadultgamer.com, click on our Amazon affiliate links at the bottom of the page, and then go when you go to Amazon or Amazon.ca, your price doesn't change, but Tag gets a little kickback from Amazon, a very small percentage, and those funds go to help pay bills for hosting the site, the tools for the podcast, all of it. So just a really easy way for you to support what we're doing. All right, so let's go on to our playlist. Hoptimist, as our guest, you get to go first. Tell us what you've been playing this couple weeks.
Well, still playing lots of Blackout. I just have a lot of fun, especially with friends. Even the other day playing some solos, I had some fun and had some good times, but it is a lot more fun with friends, especially other folks from tags. We always have a good time.
Especially when you're driving to the river, right?
Yeah, we'll have to get Jay to get that clip out. Horizon 4 with that new Fortune Island expansion. It's nice to go back to there. Playing a little bit of Fallout 76 here and there. I kind of just took a break from it. And still working on Castlevania Mirror of Fate HD. I'm almost at the end because it's getting hard. And then we had a little bit of Elder Scrolls Online revival just last night with you, Melified, and Zelk. And just getting into Somerset. I forgot again how pretty that game is till you play it and you're like, wow. That's pretty much been my past week or two of gaming.
Yeah, it's funny. My son was really excited to see me playing ESO and got his brother to play with him, and then both of them want to play with me this weekend. So we've got an ESO date set up, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, if I'm on and you guys have room and just want somebody to help pull ads off you, let me know. I'll jump in.
Sounds good. Fenrir, you've got a few things on your playlist as well.
Yeah, my playlist is much shorter these past few weeks because it's been taken up mainly by two games. Blackout continues on Call of Duty, continues to be my just go-to. But I will have to say a game that I was looking forward to that I thought, hey, that'd be fun, has just stolen my heart, and that's Ashen. It's on Game Pass right now. I went ahead and bought it because I just wanted to support the developers because this game is just beautiful. It's a Dark Souls-like game. It has this really intriguing multiplayer component to it where it's kind of fluid. It has a drop in and out based on the area you're at, not the quest or anything you're doing. It's also just has a really interesting story that is very direct and open for you. So it's, you know, Dark Souls, you had to kind of figure out the story as you were moving forward. This just kind of tells you what's going on. So I really do love it. If you get a chance to check it out, please do. It is beautifully done. Mutant Year Zero is also another game I've been toying with when I get a chance to between Call of Duty and Ashen. But it's a XCOM, you know, tactical kind of game. It's got a unique story to it, and I'm not very far into it, but I definitely think that once I get done with Ashen, I will spend some more time in this world.
Awesome. Well, I also played a little bit of Ashen. I'm not quite as enamored with it as you were. I just kept getting myself killed repeatedly. I also was trying to play at co-op and couldn't get in to a co-op match with somebody despite setting all the filters and things. So not sure if that's error on my part or what, but definitely wasn't super impressed.
It is hard. It is hard. And I think the multiplayer thing will kind of get patched out a little bit.
Yeah, I think it as a single player experience, if you like that super hard challenge, I think it definitely has a lot to offer. I was just hoping to play at co-op for sure. But I also jumped into Mutant Year Zero a little bit. I think the neat part about it is the mutants, and they are very interesting characters and kind of how they're treated by even, you know, the people they live with, the people they're trying to help out. Promises to be an interesting story, at least. I haven't gotten too far into it. I also did play another turn-based strategy game, Jagged Alliance Rage, which is a pseudo-sequel to the original Jagged Alliance game, which was out in the late 80s, early 90s. I guess it must have been the 90s. It's a turn-based tactical game set more or less in current times, current weapons, but you are navigating around an island trying to escape from a ruthless dictator and his army. I wouldn't say it's a fantastic game. A lot of people who were big fans of the original are not terribly happy with this one, but I think it streamlines the gameplay a little bit, which probably is a smart move for modern audiences. But I haven't played enough of it to be too far or have formed too strong an opinion either way myself. I also have been continuing to play AC Odyssey. I finally finished the single player or the story of the original game, and now I'm into the first paid DLC story content, which just dropped about a week ago. So far, so good. They're doing some things. I can kind of see where it's going. It gives you more stuff, more cultists to hunt down, and some of the things, which it's a little bit of a retread from the base game, but it's still AC Odyssey. It's still super fun, so easy to recommend. Kind of in a similar vein, open world action. I played some Just Cause 4. I was so in love with the original Just Cause, and especially Just Cause 2. I really didn't like the level up system in Just Cause 3. It required you to do some pretty difficult challenges to get these upgrade points, and I found that to be pretty frustrating. Just Cause 4 still has a little bit of that, but it's much more sideline content. It's not required maybe for some of the mainline abilities, but it has an interesting strategic layer. You turn around and blow stuff up. I would say there are fewer things to blow up, but they blow up bigger. So maybe that's a zero balances out a little bit. But if you've enjoyed the other Just Causes, I would certainly encourage people to check it out if it's on a good sale. But I'm not sure it's really kind of risen up to that must-have level that Just Cause 2 did for me back in the day. All right. So that's it for our playlist. Moving on to community updates. Fenrir, we got a couple clans, I hear.
I can't say that I play this a lot, but definitely in Tag, there is a community of people who are playing Clash of Clans pretty intensely right now. So if you have a clan that you are needing to join, feel free to check out the mobile channel to see what's going on there, and they can hook you up with joining the Clash of Clans. Also, check out the Gem of Wars if you're into that. It seems like there's a pretty healthy group of people there also, just I don't know what to say, warring with their gems.
Gems of War, certainly. We have people playing a huge community on PS4, some folks playing on Xbox as well as mobile, and they're extremely active, so.
So if you're into Gems of Wars or Clash of Clans, go check out the Discord and see what you can do to offer your assistance in those areas.
So Hop, what's going on Mondays?
So far not anything. Trying to see if maybe we can get some Forza going. It's Xbox game night, but lately nobody's, I think with the holidays, people just haven't been all that active or wanting to take the helm. I should probably ask the Xbox champion at Tag, sort of rally some folks together for that, but I've been too busy playing Blackout with Fenrir to.
It's all my fault.
No, if it's not you, it's Jay. I mean, it's yeah, that's yeah, that game has its hooks in me pretty bad. But now that the new expansion for Forza is out, maybe I'll make some time and see if I can get some people together. Or, I mean, I'm down to play anything if there's other Game Pass games. We've talked about it. I think we just need to get the Xbox game channel going, getting some people interested again.
Yeah, I think it just needs a little kick in the rear end, and I know there's some folks talking about starting that in January when the holidays are
right.
Gone.
Right now, it's kind of tough. Christmas is right around the corner. If you have kids, they're going crazy. Because my kids, they're going crazy. So.
Yeah, both major holidays land on a Monday this year, so
that's
gonna be tough.
So I'm gonna say probably the second week in January we'll get something going again.
Yeah, I think that's probably realistic. So keep an eye out for that. And then Fenrir, we have a Halo night, I hear.
Yes, it's funny we have an Xbox game night on Mondays, but it seems to be Thursdays that we really get all the people going for Halo night. We've had some good nights these last few Thursdays. We try to play a lot of MCC if we can, but last week we did some Halo 5, and it was a lot of fun. We got some Duck Hunt Sumo happening, as well as some just kind of custom big team battle type stuff. So come join us on Thursdays if you want to get some Halo on.
Yeah, and I will say that I could happily just play Warthog Sumo for several hours. That game, or that mode, was just wildly, ridiculously fun. So really, really enjoyed that last week. So one last plug. We mentioned it last time. The book club is reading Legionnaire, kind of a retelling of the Star Wars saga from some of the same themes, but a unique story. The discussion's begun, so if you've read the book or are interested in hearing more about it, drop in the book club channel, and we'll be picking a new book for January here pretty soon. So look for that. All right, so getting to our deep dive for this episode, there are games that we fondly remember, and for whatever reason, you know, they sort of have disappeared. We don't see new entries in those franchises from the big game developers. And so I thought it'd be interesting to kind of talk about, you know, some of the franchises that we feel need to be brought back, that somebody needs to pick them up and make a new entry. Hoptimus, since you're our guest this week, why don't you start us off on this topic?
Okay, well, pre-show you brought up a game, and I'll let you talk about that in a minute, but I'm going to, because your game reminded me of a series that I've been dying for a revival on, and the game you brought up made me remember that we haven't had a Mech Assault since the original Xbox. Mech Assault 1 was one of the first games that had Xbox Live multiplayer, and it was awesome. I played the crap out of that game. I like lots of anime and mecha shows, and Mech Assault, you know, being based on the old Fast and Mech Warrior universe, had a lot of those anime-inspired mechs, but a lot of its own mechs, and it was just a lot of fun. And they came out with a second one, which was almost more than the original Xbox could handle, because now you could get out of the mechs. It didn't feel as smooth, and I waited and waited for a 360 one, and I think what happened was the whole Fastest Studios collapse thing, and that was why we didn't get another one. But I know that gamers have been asking Phil Spencer about two, one which Fenrir brought up. I'll let him talk about it. Before I get too excited, that they would love to see be revived. It's just sad that there's really no modern mech game at all on the Xbox One X, like Mech Assault, or I'm going to let you bring up your game now, because that one made me excited too.
Well, I was going to say, we do have Mech Warrior 5 on the horizon for the PC side of things, and maybe that gets a port over to the Xbox One X.
I hope so, but I'm not counting on it. Sometimes some of those bigger PC games don't make it across. But that would be sweet. That would be very sweet. I mean, we had Titanfall, but that was still more of a first-person shooter with mechs in it. And that's about the closest we've had to any of these things.
Did you ever see or play with the controller That like big,
For
massive.
Steel Battalion? Oh yeah, I had it.
You had that massive thing?
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
And I had the Steel Battalion sequel that had the online play. Oh yeah, dude, I used to sit down and get in the zone and oh yeah.
Yeah, I still have mine actually. It's in the garage. It disassembles into like three pieces, and so I've got it packed
Yeah,
up.
it came in a giant box.
But the
That's
interesting thing
amazing.
about it is if you actually have one or find one at a, garage sale or something, those original Xbox peripherals were straight USB. They just had a different connector. So you can get an adapter off Amazon or eBay for, less than $10 that'll let you plug that in and you can actually use it on a modern Windows computer, believe it or not.
Whoa. I knew they were USB, but I didn't know it was that easy to convert. That's
Yeah,
great.
it's just the wires are basically, or the connectors, the only thing. So, pretty crazy. But those games are not backward compatible, sadly. That would be.
Not yet. I mean, if Mech Assault 1 becomes backwards compatible and they sell it digitally, I may pick that up just to play. But without the online play, I don't know how much fun I'll have because that was mostly what I played.
Well, speaking of mech games with an online component, that brings me to my pick for this segment, which is a game named Chrome Hounds, which was by From Software. They've done a handful of different mech games over the years. But what was really amazing about Chrome Hounds is it was a squad-based game. You and I think it was four or five of your friends in a squad, you got to design your own mechs. You were unlocking parts as you went. And there were all sorts of interesting strategies, with your squad composition, which type of mechs you built, speed, weapon selection, and the story. It's amazing that I still remember this, but the story was that the sun enters a period of intense sunspot activity, which basically wipes out radio communications on Earth. And so the only way to communicate was to capture these radio towers on the map, and then that have a line of them back to the rest of your team. And so you actually had to worry about your team going out of communications, which added a really interesting tactical depth to the game. But all in all, I was in love with the game. It had a strategy over map where you were capturing territory and different factions were competing to try and take over the map. It was just a blast to play. I know Hop, you mentioned you played it as well. Any
Oh yeah, I loved that game. I play. My brother played. We had a little group of us. Another friend of mine. I used to play that a lot. I liked how you could, and the campaign would run almost like a season. You'd jump in, and it would be at a certain spot, and you'd set up your battlefield with your friends and get on there, and go through that season. And then I don't remember how long the seasons, if they were a week or a month, and it would reset, and then you'd be in a different area. It was really fun. The mechs were more big, clunky, industrial things. They weren't quick and nimble like anime, like Mobile Suit Gundam or Macross or anything like that, or even Titanfall. They were very big, clunky, slow, like basically like tanks, walking tank platforms. But it made it fun because you had to really kind of pick. How you set up your battle and what weapons you were going to use. And yeah, it was a really cool game. It was definitely different at the time than anything else,
Yeah,
especially on consoles.
right. I was going to say, I think the closest thing I can think of today would be like World of Tanks, at least for the tactical aspect of the game, but you really had that strategic layer as well, and you were building your own vehicles too. So Fenrir, we've been whinging on about wonderful mech games of the past. What would be your franchise to revive?
Well, my franchise to revive would be Crimson Skies.
Mother truck, yeah. I am right behind you on that.
I remember that game so fondly, and when I heard rumors that they would be potentially doing that, I mean, I couldn't tell you what was going on with me. I was getting the sweats. I was getting so excited. It was But
Well,
then
I didn't get the sweats. I had a growth.
I wasn't didn't know if I wanted to go there or not, but that's yeah. So I hope to God that this is a thing that will happen sooner than later. I mean, heck, they're doing Battletoads, so they got to be doing Crimson Skies somewhere. Maybe that's what Playground's working on. I don't know,
That would be
but
sweet. I mean, the original Crimson Skies, honestly, the single player campaign was fun. It was neat. It was pretty. I got so hooked on the multiplayer. I would play it. I mean, as much fun as I had in Mech Assault, Crimson Skies was better designed for a multiplayer, like dogfighting,
Yes.
crazy propeller slash hybrid jet planes. I mean, I used to, I would try different planes, and by the third week or so, I decided that the Bulldog was my jam because I could just suicide gun everybody. And the guns on that thing were so strong, you could get into some crazy dogfights and come out scraped alive, but come out alive. It's a total blast. I love that game.
Yeah, so I pray that someday soon we will see something in the Crimson Skies universe. I mean, yeah, the story wasn't the most amazing thing, but I don't know, it had a special place. I really enjoyed just the open world flying,
I love the very neo-noir, inspired, almost like Man in the High Castle
Yes.
kind of feel to
Alt
it.
timeline type stuff.
That kind of stuff's always fun and fascinating, and I loved the retro tech propeller slash, turboprop jet planes.
So hopefully they do something with that sometime soon, because that will definitely make my year if 2019 gets a re announcement of that.
I the
This.
closest we ever got to another one was a game made by some of the same team, and it was that it was a Snoopy Red Baron game on the 360. I don't know if you ever played it. Basically, the multiplayer played just like Crimson Skies, but it was Snoopy Red Baron themed. It was fun, but it wasn't Crimson Skies.
Yeah, I think the basic story of Crimson Skies was that the influenza outbreak of 1919 was way worse, and it basically led to the states in the US closing their borders to try and keep the disease out, and that's what broke up the United States into these little fiefdoms, and kind of went from there, which I always thought was fascinating, what if scenario. But the controls for that game are the thing that really stuck out for me, thinking back, is where you could click in the right stick and the left stick and do different combinations of up, down, left, right on the
Yeah,
two
for the
sticks.
flight. Yeah, for the dog fighting. Oh yeah, it was fun.
All those special moves were really intuitive and easy to do. You weren't trying to pull off an 18 hit combo from Killer Instinct control wise, but you still could do some really neat stuff.
You can kind of see some of that influence from Crimson Skies with that dogfighting. Kind of, it took some of the basics of that and applied it to the Banshee flying and Halo.
Halo.
Yeah, with the tricks to get out of the missile path and stuff like that. They just need to bring that game back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I would buy a Crimson Sky sequel.
Is it backwards compatible yet?
It
I
is.
can't
It
remember.
is, but there's no multiplayer, which is why I didn't buy it. As much, like I said, as much as I liked the campaign, but I honestly don't really want to buy. If the multiplayer worked again, I would buy it right now. I would buy one for you and one for Mel, and we'd go play right now.
So we've covered, three games close to our hearts. Are there any other franchises that you really want to see brought back to life?
I mean, there's one more, but I know it's coming. It's just a matter of them saying it, but that's Splinter Cell.
Yeah, it's been too long, that series. I mean, the original ones on the original Xbox, I
Oh, those are the
loved.
best.
Dude, Pandora Tomorrow, that game.
Okay, hold on. Do you rank Pandora Tomorrow over Chaos Theory?
I think I do, only because when it came out, that multiplayer was so far ahead of its time and
True.
so good.
Spies versus
Like
Mercs.
it, I think it scared people because it was so different. I mean, and there was nothing better. I remember the Penny Arcade comic that spoofed this. But you could talk. I don't know if you ever played this, Mel. If you were one of the spies, and I think the ratio was like there were two spies and three or four mercs. I don't remember. It was a weird number of
Yeah.
players. I think it was two spies and four mercs. I think it was six players total or something like that. Anyway, the spies had minimal to no weapons, and you had to sneak around against the mercs. The mercs had like automatic weapons and armor. But anyway, as the spies, you could sneak behind them. You could put a guy in a half or full Nelson. I don't remember which hold it was. You could talk to the enemy player. Like this is before the days of party chat. You could tell him something before you snapped his neck. And it was the coolest thing ever. I just was like, man, there was some serious trash talking on that game. It was a lot of fun. And the storyline was great too, but that multiplayer was way ahead of its time. And I remember when it came out graphically on the original Xbox hardware, it was a looker. It was a very pretty game.
I love Spies vs. Mercs, but man, the story of Chaos Theory just was awesome to me. So
Yeah, I would probably agree with you that the campaign on KS3 was better. I just think that Pandora Tomorrow just like over the overall package blew my mind, especially that multiplayer. I was like, what? I was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
do you remember when they tried to bring back Spies vs. Mercs? It was either in Blacklist
I think
or
so. If that was in the 360 era, I got quite consumed by a very popular PvP game during the 360 era that rhymes with years of gore. And that kind of took over my life for a bit. So I did not play any of the 360 Splinter Cell games.
Yeah, it just wasn't as good as the original two versions with Pandora Tomorrow and Chaos Theory. So
And that may be part of the reason why, is I think somebody said, it wasn't as good as the last two, and I just said okay and didn't even check it out for myself.
and it'll be interesting. I mean, Ubisoft's, got that in their stable. They've said they want to do games that have a long shelf life that they can do, add-ons and updates and things for a while. So
They did bring they brought Sam Fisher into Ghost Recon last
yeah,
season. There was a
with Michael
mission, whole
Ironside as
mission,
the
yeah,
voice.
with Ironside doing the voice. So I think that might have been a test to see what the reaction was. And according to like the Wildlands Reddit, everybody was loving it. So we'll see what comes out of that.
Plus, I mean, the other characters they brought in were Predator and the Scott Mitchell that we mentioned earlier, which is pretty good company. So hopefully that indicates they're going to do more with it.
I tried that Predator mission on Wildlands. He was tough. I never even came close.
Well,
Scary, too.
that seems appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. So, any last franchise hopes, dreams, wishes? I guess for me, one other one that I really enjoyed, although it was a weird game in a lot of ways, was Stuntman Ignition. You played as the stuntman on a movie set, and you had to drive the car through obstacles and over hit jumps and things like that to, do the movie scene. And some of the levels were infuriatingly hard. I remember almost throwing my controller through the TV a couple times. But it's backward compatible, but it's one of those games where it was sort of unique, and I've never really seen anything like it since. So that would be an interesting one. All right, well,
I never played it. It looked neat, though.
yeah, they had a lot of fun with it, I think. They got to kind of make fun of a lot of the movies, the big blockbuster movies too along the way, so had a kind of tongue-in-cheek humor to it. Hey, so this is Mellified. I'm here to do something a little different for the podcast. I'm going to give a product review of the Monitor IO. The Monitor IO is the result of a successful Kickstarter. I bought one myself after that, though. It's a small $100 device that continuously monitors your internet connection and lets you know when a problem is detected by changing colors on its LCD display. For gamers, this is a great heads up on the health of your internet connection. Besides the obvious question, is my internet working? The monitor I/O measures latency to test points around the internet. There are sensitivity levels which determine how aggressively the monitor I/O alerts you to differences in the time it took to reach those monitoring locations. So you can get a personalized understanding of how well your internet's performing. The device itself is small. It's about two deck of cards stacked on top of each other. It has a power port on the back, and then for some reason, an Ethernet port on the side. You do want it wired for the best results, ideally directly to your router. That's because you want it testing your internet connection, not your home Wi-Fi or anything like that. The LCD screen on the front changes colors, and that color is really easy to see across the room. The text you're going to have to get up close and personal to read, though. That's probably okay because there is a mobile app that'll do push notifications and send you alerts and things like that. The mobile app's a little basic. It kind of kicks you out to the phone's web browser if you want to dig into details, but that's pretty much a minor annoyance. Besides online gamers, this device could be helpful if you do family's tech support. No more wondering if the ISP died again when grandma calls asking why she can't stream Murder, She Wrote, right? If you're interested, you can learn more at monitor-io.com, and you can save 10% before the end of the year using the coupon code HOLIDAY18. So if you have any questions about the product, feel free to hit me up on Discord. Again, this is Melified checking in about the Monitor I/O. I am Melified. You can find me on all the things. I keep all my gamer tag and Switch ID and everything at Melified.com. Just pop that in your browser. You can find me. Fenrir, where can folks find you?
You can just find me at Fenrir765 on Xbox Live and Discord. Just hit me up if you want to play some Call of Duty Black Ops, or, well, really, if you just want to play any game, just let me know, and if I have it, I'll play it with you. So, Fenrir765.
Easiest thing to do is come to the Adult Gamer, join our Discord, ping me at Hoptimus, and I'll game with you anytime. I'm only on Xbox One, though, pretty much. But if you join our Discord, I can point you in the right direction or play Xbox One with you. But that's where you can find me.
All the action really is on our Discord. You can find the link at theadultgamer.com. We have shirts and I'm pretty sure there were underpants I saw on our merch store. I could be wrong about that, but there's all kinds of fun logo t-shirts and things. We talked about, you know, go ahead and use our affiliate links off of theadultgamer.com, and you can find this podcast there as well. So plenty to see, plenty to do at theadultgamer.com, but most of all, come join us on Discord. We'd love to have you. All right, well, thanks, guys. It's been another great week. We'll be recording another episode in January here. So until then, thank you and good night.